This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Coming up, making his sixth appearance at the bottom of the hour, will be Buddy Boeheim from the Boeheim family. Red hot Syracuse.
Yeah, by the way, Virginia at the Dome tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. Game originally scheduled for 8, now it's 6.
Right.
It's part of that flexibility piece with some games being moved to Sunday on ACC basketball calendars for this weekend. So looking forward to having Buddy Boeheim. But first, we start the 9 o'clock hour with the notepad for the month of December. This is where we chronicle the best of the month, if you will, from a superlative standpoint. And Mark and I have not shared the notes, and I've come to find out from our crack staff that we have the same in only two. This is interesting. And the first one is one we consider the same.
Oh, how about
that? The best offensive player of the month is Jewel Spear of Wake Forest, the leading scorer in the ACC in women's basketball at 21.3. For Jen Hoover's team, who's off to a great start.
Yeah, as mentioned, they got the win last night against Florida State in overtime. But, man, you look at Jewel's numbers in December, and there's a number of players that you could have picked, I think, for this category, Wes. But, man, she lit it up. I mean, she has just been – I mean, almost every single night she's going crazy on folks. So, good for Jewel Spear. She was she is a big-time talent, man. If you got a ticket to see a Wake Forest women's basketball game – believe me, she is going to score because she can flat out do it.
Yeah, no question. And by the way, without Ivana Raza and Gina Conti and folks like that, there was a lot of question maybe where Wake Forest would go. Jen Hoover's team off to a great start. And Jewel Spear leads the conference in scoring. So congratulations to Jewel Spear. We did differ on the defensive player of the month.
Yeah,
You went wrestling here?
I went wrestling. I went with something different. I'm going to be honest with you. Of all our categories, this to me was the most difficult one to figure out in the month of December. So I went with the old friend now, Makai Lewis, because the dude hasn't lost. And you know what? He's coming back healthy. Kind of got beat up a little bit last year, but man, he is on fire. And then, you know what? I told you, I love the Friday night duels on ACC Network. So I was going to go a little wrestling action here. So I want Makai Lewis from Virginia Tech. There was a number of dudes I could have picked.
Well done.
But I want Makai Lewis.
Okay. All right. I like that. Nod to Friday Night Duels. Sean Kenny and Rock Harrison coming up later in the month now. I'm telling you, we're about a week away, maybe a little more than that, from the first set of Friday Night Duels, I think.
Love it. I love it. I think it's
great. Are we going on location for that?
Are we going to get to go someplace on a Friday? I hope we do. I know we've talked about it, and I don't know if any decisions
have been
made. Whatever. I mean, all the venues are great. And again, Coach Pat, he's got them rocking and rolling. We got four ACC teams ranked in the top 21. Right. NC State's the highest ranked right now in the league. Had that great showdown with Iowa the other night, and which was just awesome. Two top fives getting after it, number one and number five. So I hope we can do that. That'd be a lot of fun.
All right. My best defensive player of the month comes from basketball. Mark Williams of Duke was a guy who finished in a flurry a year ago, right? Well, while you all have been paying attention to Trevor Keels and Paolo Banchero and Wendell Moore, who deserves it, trust me, this guy is leading the league in blocks. He's leading the league in defensive rebounds, and he has become a problem inside. Just the maturity and the development of Mark Williams, that's why he's my defensive player of the month for December. That one was easy for me. Best story is next. The best story in the month of December for me in the ACC is what's going to happen in 22, because this league was the best quarterback league in the country a season ago. And I don't think I'm breaking any news here, Pac, by saying it might be the best quarterback league in 22 again.
Has a chance for sure. That's an interesting selection with the returnees. I went a different angle. I went with folks that actually won hardware. I thought the best story of the month was the fact that you can find national championship trophies in Tallahassee and in Clemson. because the Florida State women's program, man, they were close a year ago, chip on shoulder, unfinished business. They closed the deal. Clemson soccer program, you know what? They've had really, really good teams for a long time, but they were like the eighth seed. And there was not a whole lot of buzz that, hey, Clemson's a team to beat. But guess what? They closed the deal. So I thought, for me, the best storyline of the month was Florida State and Clemson both winning national championships in soccer. Closing the deal. Dominating the country. Now,
all right. Why don't you lead with biggest surprise?
Biggest surprise may be a little different. I thought we had a national championship coming our way. And I was surprised that the number one overall seed, Louisville, and the number three overall national seed, Pittsburgh, got knocked out in the semis. So that surprised me because I had an eyeball, man. I was thinking, man, we could have ourselves an all-ACC national championship in volleyball. So I was surprised that both of them lost in the national semis. There you go.
Yeah, you're right about that. My biggest surprise in an era of opting out and leaving early for the draft to go, I had a glimmer of hope that there'd be a considerable number of ACC football players returning, and it looks like that's going to happen. In particular, special shout-out to Pittsburgh's entire offensive line that had two guys that were in the early third-day selection process who have elected to come back. Same at NC State. We're seeing more players, and I'm not saying this is the Kenny Pickett influence, although I think that's got to – we got to look at that maybe a couple more years down the road. But the number of players electing to return right now is a pleasant surprise. And for me, the biggest surprise in the ACC, because it's easy to say, well, I'm out and I'm done, I'm going to go to the draft. But you got guys saying, hey, wait a second, we'll come back and be a part of this process and maybe help my stock along the way. So that's my biggest surprise in the month of December.
Well, I'm glad they're coming back. And as we said to Boo, you know what? Those 4 years you get, sometimes it's 6 years you get, depending on your situation.
Yeah.
College life's okay, man. You know, let me tell you something. I tell my girls all the time when they're in school, I said, you better enjoy it because the real world is a whole different ball game. And, man, while you're in college, if you can take advantage of it, man, go for it. I highly, highly suggest it. The real world can wait.
Yep. You're right about that. All right. Biggest disappointment. Well, this one's easy, unfortunately.
This was easy.
The coronavirus has disrupted sports, especially in college, once again. I already told you we're up over a half dozen men's basketball games that have been postponed. You know the bowl game scenario. No conference has been hit more by the coronavirus postponement and cancellation of bowl games, more so than the ACC. For me, Pac, this was unfortunately very easy in terms of disappointments.
Yeah, we go through these lists, and some of them just immediately pop to you. Some you got to work at it and try to break it down. This, like you said, was easy, Wes. When we saw the trickle-down effect with what was going on in the NBA, the National Football League, and other pro sports, we started to see it in college basketball where the schedule was deteriorating. But we kind of felt that football, for whatever reason, we got through a season kind of unscathed in some respects. But all of a sudden, especially here in the ACC, man, the bowl season has been a mess. You know, BC felt it, Virginia felt it, Miami felt it. Both NC State and Wake Forest had to deal with it as far as opponents and so forth. It's been a mess. And I'm afraid to say it feels like it's going to continue to be a mess, at least in the first quarter of the year from a scheduling standpoint. But for the month of December, which is what this notepad's all about, I don't think there's any doubt that COVID got the headline here, unfortunately, and we're all having to still deal with it. The final topic is the best game of the month. And I'll lead off on this one. I went NC State, Nebraska, ACC, Big Ten showdown. And I still remember watching it going, is somebody going to win this game? I mean, it made no sense, this game. And it went four overtimes, and you're like, oh my God, maybe this one won't even end. And there's Kevin Keats going, thank God, let's just get out of here. Oh. So that to me was the craziest, goofiest game of the month in the ACC. I won ACC Big Ten Challenge with the Wolfpack.
Yeah, that's a good one. I took Wake's basketball win at Virginia Tech. And the reason being is because it came at a time where we weren't sure about Steve Forbes' team. And they went to Blacksburg and, quite frankly, made it look easy, right? Introduced us to a couple of new names in the league you need to pay attention to. We've already found out that Alondis Williams is going to be a factor in some of this success this year. So I chose Wake's win at Virginia Tech as the best game of the month. They just put a new cast of characters, if you will, into the ACC basketball season for 21 and 22.
Well, it definitely did that. And I don't think Virginia Tech fans would have taken that was a great game. I think because Wake really kind of punked them, man. That was like a 19-point see you later. And, you know, the Deeks, you know, had a nice lead, kept a nice lead, closed the deal, and whistled onto the bus, and let's get back to Winston-Salem. But like I told you, when it comes to hoops, men's hoops in particular, the ladies are doing the job now. The ladies have six teams in the top 25, and Virginia Tech won last night by 22 against 15th-ranked Duke. The Hokies are getting ready to jump in that top 25, too. So the ladies, I'm not concerned with the ladies, man. We got 7, 8, 9 really good teams rocking. The men are a different story, Wes. We're going to find out who wants to get hot in January and kind of separate themselves to kind of go and join Duke as maybe a top 25 team, but an NCAA tournament team. So the storylines are very, very different when it comes to basketball in this league as we move into next year.
Yeah, no question about it. All right, before we get to break, another shout-out for our sports information friends, this time at the University of Virginia, Eric Bakker, Scott Fitzgerald, Melissa Dudak, and, of course, the great Jim Daves. Thank you guys in Charlottesville for being such a vital part of ACC Network and Packer and Durham. When we come back, a quick check of our accounting for basketball and the old gold and black to the field today at the Gator Bowl against Rutgers. We'll talk about that more next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Once again, thanks to the sports information folks. How about Miami? Our man Gorby, what are you doing? Alex Schwartz, Megan Barnes, Josh White, Seth Goodman. Thank you to everybody in Coral Gables in the sports information office at Miami that keeps ACC Network going, and Packer and Durham in particular. Thank you, as always, for your help. Welcome back to the New Year's Eve extravaganza.
I don't know if I'd use the word extravaganza yet, Wes. It may be too early for that.
What about 9:30? Buddy Boeheim will be here. That's extravaganza, isn't it?
I'm looking forward to that. I don't think the extravaganza is going to begin until about 8:15 tonight. The extravaganza will begin to about 8:15 tonight, give or take.
All right, I got you. All right, quick check of basketball accounting before we move on to the Deeks and Knights of Rutgers. Look, accounting in basketball now, I'm telling you. It's a thankless job. It's also just target practice.
It's not thankless. It's just impossible. And so that's why we're doing it. And you know what happens? People put this nonsense up on social media so they can get folks to say that we're idiots. And I don't care. So get it all over you. New Year, everybody.
Yeah. Some of you, by the way, are using some really colorful language at times, too.
Right.
Duke 1, Carolina 2, Miami, Louisville, Wake, top 5. A couple of wins pushes them up a couple. Same for Syracuse. Notre Dame, I thought, got a huge road win the other day at Pitt. And don't forget, Notre Dame beat Kentucky at some point in this, and that still counts. Virginia Tech, we haven't seen Florida State. NC State lost at Miami the other day after losing to Purdue. I mean, Virginia, Georgia Tech, Boston College, Pittsburgh. I mean, we got a long way to go, folks. And we got to get some games played. And right now, we're not playing many of those either. So there's my list.
All right, here's your Sweet 16. Duke's number one. I think everybody's going to agree with that. And then from that point on, hey, take your pick. It really doesn't matter. Miami's red hot. That's why I got the Canes up where they are. Louisville, they get some love there. The Swiss lost the other night. That was a tough game. I still like the Hokies. Clemson, the big win against Virginia, dominated. North Carolina, I like them, and then they give me Kentucky. The Fighting Boeheims are starting to make shots. I like that. Florida State needs a play. Notre Dame's got the win against Kentucky, as you mentioned. A nice win the other night at Pitt on the road, coming from behind. Everybody else, you know who you are. NC State's really struggled. They got to get some W's here ASAP. They've got the Noles this weekend. And Sweet 16, UCLA's communication skills lacking at best. So they're in the Sweet 16 spot this week. There you go. And for all you folks on social media with nothing better to do, throw all the darts you want. I don't even read them. So go get it all over you. Whatever makes
you. There you have it. There you have it. All right. Wake gets Rutgers here. I'm as curious to see what Rutgers does, Pack, given kind of, and I don't care who you are. It's a short turnaround. I don't know if Wake's a comparable team to anybody on Rutgers' schedule.
No.
To me, all the advantage falls with the Deacons here. Momentum, the success they've had, both on offensively and defensively to a degree at times, bowl experience, all those things favor Wake Forest today. But this has been a weird bowl season to start too, you know?
Well, before I give you any insight of what I think is going to happen here, I will remind everyone, I thought North Carolina would handle South Carolina easily yesterday. They lost by 17. So with that said, I do like Wake in this game. I think their scheme causes issues for people, even when you know you got to go play them. And here goes Rutgers. Mm-hmm. Again, they've been dispersed. I give them credit for wanting to play. Greg Schiano is doing a nice job in his 2.0 return. And I will point out, and I hate to do this, the Big Ten is 5-0 in bowl games. The Big Ten has won more bowl games than the ACC, the SEC, the Pac-12, and the Big 12 combined. Let that marinate a second. I'm not stuttering. Yeah. The Big Ten's been on a roll, but I like the Deacs. Number one, I think they're motivated because they want to get that 11th win. You heard John Curry talking about that in hour number one. To me, all these games come down to the 1-2. Who is in the mood to play? I think Rutgers will be excited. Hey, we'll get a chance to play one more time. But I think Wake Forest's scheme and their execution, and I think Sam Hartman with the disappointment of the ACC championship game, I think Wake's got something to prove. I think they're the better team. I think they win this game.
Yeah, Ja'Cory Roberson, by the way, has opted out. He will not play for Wake Forest. I think it allows Donald Stewart and Keyshawn Williams to step up and make plays with A.T. Perry. You know the run game with Ellison and Christian Beal-Smith and those guys is solid. I like their offensive line with Michael Juergens back at center and healthy. And I think with Miles Fox and some of those guys up front, they can get stops made, Pack, on a Rutgers team that have been fine at times, but they were 5-7. And we'll see how this goes. But I think Wake is able to write the script today. I really do. You know, and again, I think the momentum of their season means a lot in a game like this. And, yeah, I know the disappointment of losing the championship game, but still, there's still plenty to play for if you're Dave Clawson. And here's the other thing, too. How many times has he talked to us about the programming of the program being built to last, to be sustainable?
Right.
If you're a sustainable program, there is no bridge from 21 to 22. It's just a continuing move here. And I think you get to see some of that today. Because if that's true, today's one of those days where you get to kind of push it across and make it count for this year on the way to next year.
And I think it also helps, too, just from a mind standpoint of the 1-2, you're the only game at that time. I mean, you know, we're going to get into the college football playoff later this afternoon with Bama, Cincinnati, and Michigan, Georgia, and everybody be dialed in. But this is the lead-in, right? The Gator Bowl.
Yeah.
Here come the Deacs and doing all their thing. Here's the other thing I want to talk to you about, Wes. I think this is a really important game for the ACC. You know, I don't mean to beat on the negative. We know what happened last year, and until Clemson won the other night, the league had lost 13 consecutive bowl games, 13 in a row. I mean, surely you get out of bed and you could win three or four. And North Carolina's stinker yesterday, and it was bad. I mean, I can't spin it. Last night, Pitt had a chance, right? You're up 21-10 fourth quarter. Go close the deal. All right, Sparty's a good club. Tip their hat. But you're driving late. You got a chance to certainly kick a field goal, put it in overtime. You throw a pick six, you lose the game by 10. I think this is a really important game for not only Wake Forest, obviously for the 11th win, but for the league. Because there is a big difference between saying, hey, guess what? You went 2-4, and that's what the record would be with a W. And no disrespect to NC State fans, chill out with that, all right? I'm talking about you won. You played the game, you won the game. 2-4 is, I know it's still under 500, but it's a lot better than 1-5 coming off an 0-6. And I've talked about this with you since we've been doing radio shows and now this television show. You want to change the narrative of ACC football. There is only one way to do it. And let me tell you, the list is one. And that is you must win games. I don't want to hear about recruiting rankings. I don't want to hear about transfers. I don't want to hear about new uniforms. I don't care that you got a bigger scoreboard. I don't care about any of that stuff. That's all gravy. You've got to win games. And this conference, until it sits there and starts winning bowl games, starts winning important non-conference games, you're going to fight the uphill struggle. And Clemson's done a great job. Again, 11 straight years of 10 or more wins. We know who they are. But even the national narrative this year was, Clemson's done. After all they accomplished, the media couldn't wait to bury them. They won 10 games.
Right.
Everybody else, that's what you're dealing with. You've got to start winning games. And for Wake Forest, yeah, you want number 11, but I think this is an important game for the league, big picture. We're all going to be buzzing nationally about what happens in the college football playoff later in the afternoon and in the evening. But for the conference to finish it off with a W and for the Deacs to look good doing it, I think is really, really important for 22.
No, I agree with you on that. I think it's for everything you said is accurate and right pinpointed, because we're going to spend a lot of time as we move through January in basketball and February in basketball and covering these other winter sports in the Atlantic Coast Conference and talking about the news of the day and the week in the ACC. We're going to continually kind of keep our finger on the pulse of what's happening with football in this conference, because it's a big deal. And it's a 365 scenario now, right? You and I've talked about that. This sport has now become 365 in many, many ways. Well, all the momentum that gets built for 22 doesn't necessarily come from the spring. Some of the national benchmarking, some of the national questioning, the national analysis and observation comes from what you did in your last games, not just as an individual school in the ACC, but as a conference. And I think you're right about that. I think that, you know, the Clemson brought it back and got to double-figure wins and beat a really good Iowa State team the other night. Clemson's got questions. But what you need to have is you need to show some optimism and some positivity as a league. And the last couple of years in postseason, you really haven't shown very much of it. So that's why it's important to win today. The last glimpse you see, whether it's Wake Forest or BC or anybody else, and look, I feel for Miami, Boston College, UVA, NC State. I wish you could have strapped it up and played, because I like three of you to win those games, personally. But at the end of the day, this is what happened, and the ACC has to work through it as a conference, and in particular, these individual schools. Now, we think Dave Clawson's done a tremendous job, should win the ball game today. Got to win the ball game today. From a marketplace standpoint, very important that that Wake Forest win the game. Elsewise, it just adds another layer of the questions to the observation and analysis that goes on about what your league is going to be. Because I think you and I maybe share this, I hope. There's going to be questions about Clemson's return in the offseason that were not there a year ago, because everybody thought it was going to be seamless with the way Uiagalelei had played when he subbed for Lawrence the year before. They knew the defense would be good. You thought Uiagalelei would be seamless. Well, now you have full coordinator changes. You've seen one game of Wes Goodwin, which is pretty optimistic from a Clemson standpoint. But still, there's questions. There's questions now about where Carolina may be, Pitt post Kenny Pickett. But then we talked about all the other players coming back. The league's brand, very important you get a win today as the last thing you see from the league since you're not in the CFP.
Wes, this conference, the ACC, doesn't have the luxury of using the excuse, we didn't want to be there. Well, the bowl record wasn't good because we didn't want to play in that game. You don't get that here in this league. You got to go earn it. You got to go get people's respect. And like I said, there is only one way to do it. You must win. And this is the kind of game the conference needs to win. And for Wake Forest, they would love to win it and make it 11 wins in what Dave Clawson's built. So, you know, while everybody's going to be paying attention to the college football playoff, and rightfully so, those are the four best teams in the country getting after it for a national championship. Make no mistake that Wake's appearance and win, hopefully, in the Gator Bowl is a really big deal for the ACC.
There you go. On the way to break, thank you to the sports information folks in South Bend at Notre Dame. Great group of people there. Dan Wacker, Dan Colleran, Josh Bates, Matt Peross, Alan, thank you guys. Appreciate it. When we come back, off to Central New York. I think he's got the Buddy Buckets hoodie on for us today, by the way, Pac.
I don't know.
Checking in on 3-5, Buddy Boeheim makes a triumphant return to Packer and Durham next on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham. Final show, thank goodness, of 2021. God willing, we'll be back on Monday to crank up 22, right? God willing.
There you go. Before we get to 3-5 in the white from behind the line, let's thank the good folks at Syracuse in sports information. Pete Moore, Tyler Caddy, the great Sue Edson. They help us keep this thing going. Appreciate everybody's support for Packer and Durham and the ACC Network as well. Everybody, fantastic job. Thank you very much, as always. Are we ready to go to Central New York here?
We are.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back for his triumphant return on the program. Are you really a Yankees fan, Buddy Boeheim? Are you a Yankees guy?
Yeah, big Yankees guy. This is Jimmy's room, so he's gonna probably get mad at me after this for doing this in this room.
What are we renovating at the house?
He's gonna be mad he didn't get an invite, but he knows I'm a veteran on this, so we're all Yankees fans. My dad's a big one, so we kind of followed him into this. But Jimmy's the biggest Yankees fan, and then probably goes my dad, then me.
Wes, you're the Red Sox guy.
You know what?
You're the Red Sox guy. This is your fight, not mine. This is yours.
Yeah. And Packer, by the way, just so you know, buddy, you cannot come on this show. If you come on the show with anything that says Los Angeles Dodgers,
you're gone.
You're excommunicated from any future appearances, because Packer is like a San Francisco Giants fan. And I mean, it's gotten pretty harsh on here with some people that follow the Dodgers. Okay. Wait a second. While we're in Jimmy's room, and Jimmy doesn't know we're in Jimmy's room doing the FaceTime for Packer and Durham today, what's Jimmy got in the room that we need to see that you think would be appropriate to show on the program? We got a lot of stuff sitting on shelves back there. We got hats. What do you want? Don't move the phone. Just pick it up and bring it. Oh, you're going to move the phone. Right, okay, go ahead. Whatever you got to do.
I'm going to move it. We got this.
All right.
He's got a huge collectible guy, so I'm going to just bring it over here. He's got like a bunch of little sports stuff. You can see it.
Wow.
Got a lot of big football helmets over here. Big collector.
Man, look at the – oh, wow.
Yeah, he's a huge collector guy. Loves keeping stuff. This is the coolest thing. Me and him built this over quarantine. It's a Hogwarts Lego set. So that was that's an accomplishment. You got to keep it up.
You know, something just tells me that when you guys finally get back on campus, Mom's coming in there with a giant trash can and throwing it all away. I mean, that thing, it's going to be cleared out in about 6 seconds when you guys are gone.
She has nightmares.
I bet.
You know, I mean, I can imagine Julie's downstairs watching this, you know, on TV, and all of a sudden she knows Buddy's on, he's in Jimmy's room, and all of a sudden we're getting a tour of the upper wing at Chateau Beheim, Pack. And all of a sudden, she's like, no, no, my house.
I love it.
Yeah, love it. She hates when it's dirty.
That's all right. Hey, let's talk a little hoops. I know you'd be the first to admit it's been kind of a struggle a little bit, right? The jumper, you know?
Yeah.
But lately, it's starting to come around, and it's starting to look like Buddy Buckets again.
Yeah, definitely. I think I struggled early on, just, you know, getting back into a couple games where I felt like I should have made more shots here and there. But just continuing to play hard, drawing attention, making plays, and playing through it. I mean, I've been here before, had my early struggles on, and just continue to play. And obviously last year came along at the end of the year. So just continuing to believe in myself, knowing we need me to score, and everything will work out. So I think we're getting in a good groove, though. Cole's starting to shoot it really well also. So, you know, if we're all shooting like we should be, Joe's been having a great year, and Jimmy also. So if me and Cole can step up like we have and just continue to shoot well, we know they will, we'll be very dangerous on the offensive end going into league play.
You know, buddy, here's the other thing, too. And look, I saw the Georgetown game. I saw bits and pieces of Florida State. You guys go on this 16-day break, obviously the bit of a pause with some folks taking the illness and that kind of deal. But it felt like different than last year because you came back and then all of a sudden it looked like Brown and Cornell kind of helped you find your stride a little bit. Is that fair?
Yeah, definitely. I think those were two huge games for us just getting to play again. I know during that break I just wanted to play. I was in the gym working out every day at home and was itching to get back to play because obviously that Georgetown game, Villanova game was the only things on my mind over that break and just wanted to be better for my team, for the fans, for everyone. So I couldn't wait to get back out there and really two great games for us, just a great win over Brown. You know, the second half was our best half of the year and then playing Cornell was a good team. They moved the ball and we had a really good second half. Cole broke out, had 16 in the second half. Everyone stepped up. So I think those are two great games for us going into league play and, you know, really get two good opportunities for us that we'll be thankful for looking back on.
Buddy, last year when COVID hit, I mean, everybody knew it was in front of us and it was going to be, hey, we're going to have to tiptoe through this season, do the best we can. We get into a football season where everything looked like it was on cruise control. Fans are tailgating. We're watching games. Nothing's canceled. Nothing's postponed. And then all of a sudden, 2-3 weeks ago, here comes this new variant, and bam, man, college basketball has really gotten hit. How hard has it been mentally to go, oh, man, here we go again? I know everybody's being careful leading into it and so forth, but now all of a sudden it's kind of hit everybody that, man, we got pauses, we got delays, we got cancellations, we got postponements. Mentally, how tough has that been for you?
Yeah, it was definitely, I think the first couple of days in quarantine, knowing we were going to be out for at least 10 days or so was definitely the toughest, just getting through that and being by yourself and just, you know, having a lot of time to think. But it also just gave me a fresh mindset, just realizing, all right, we have, you know, 20 plus games hopefully we'll play with not many cancellations. You just have to take it one day at a time and knowing that it's not going to be worse than last year. You're not going to have to worry about no fans or going somewhere and getting canceled. Hopefully not, but you obviously want to hope that no one gets COVID, no teams get it, but hopefully the worst is getting past us and it won't be as bad. I know the quarantine's getting lessened for days and just don't want to see what happened last year to some teams getting canceled, not playing in conference tournaments, whatever it may be. I think that's the biggest worry. But knowing we're going to play games is great. Having fans there is great. And you just have to be thankful and take advantage of every day you get.
All right, a couple of things here. One, we joked around about this in Charlotte when you and Barama were sitting on the set with us. But playing with Jimmy, how's it been?
It's been great. I mean, he's smart. He's a competitor. He wants to win as bad as anyone. And we've had some great memories already together, some great wins, laughs. And, I mean, seeing him grow and become the player he is today has been great. He's really an all-around player. He can do everything. And he'll do anything to win. So just a lot of fun. No arguments yet. And we're really enjoying it.
Wait, Pack. no arguments, buddy. Wait. He scored the first basket in 10 of the 12 games, buddy. You're letting him get on the board quick. You're giving up your own here to get Jimmy feeling good about his situation, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Jimmy always has something weird that he does, you know, well, or something that he always, like, he has a routine or something, and this is it. This is our superstition. It's, you know, give him the ball early. He's going to score every time, and if it's a three, it doesn't matter what it is. He's going to make that shot, and we all kind of laugh about it. It's a big joke on the team. Just, all right, get Jimmy the ball, and we'll score the first points, and we don't have to worry about that part.
Hey, buddy, you know what, though? As you well know, when you're a great player, the game comes to you. You know, you make sure everybody else gets their touches, and then all of a sudden, when it's go time, you know your role. Get out of the way, give me the ball, let's go, right? That's how it works.
Yeah, you know, when it comes time to win, you know, guys trust me to have the ball in my hands, which is just a great honor. And playing with these guys, I know if I, you know, draw a double team or whatever it may be, I know that other guys are going to attack and score if they have mismatches, get them the ball. So this team can really score the ball, and we trust everyone on the court to make plays. Jesse's been incredible also, one of the best bigs in the league for sure.
Well, it looks like that Jesse is also built on what he learned last year, right? I mean, and now with Barama not being able to play until the last couple of ball games, and obviously he's still working his way back, it leads me to tomorrow in this respect. You guys won at Florida State, and you know what a great win that was, and it was an important win for you. But now, all of a sudden, here they come in order, and here's Virginia. Not having a great start to the year, but as you well know, all that can change in the span of 40 minutes. What do you talk to Jesse about? What do you talk to Cole Swider? What do you talk to Jimmy about? Because you and Joe are really the guys who've got core ACC experience on this team for your dad.
Yeah, just every game is a dogfight. It doesn't matter who it is. Every team has a different style of play. They have different guys they're looking to get it to. I mean, Virginia, they're one of the best teams against the zone I think I've played against. It doesn't matter who they put out there. They're going to have a attack that is tough to stop. They're, you know, going to give it to Kie and let him operate in the high post and make plays. And we know we have to be ready for anything. And every game is going to be tough. You know, going to places on the road, every game, everyone wants to beat us. It doesn't matter who it is. You know what their record is. It's going to be a dogfight, and we have to be ready every time we step on that court. And every team has different adjustments, different styles of play, and every team's really good. So I think we're really excited. We're ready to go. And winning at Florida State was huge. Obviously, not many teams have won there in the past, and to do that was a big confidence booster for us, and just showing us we can beat anyone in the league. But we have to be prepared every time we go out there.
Buddy, my last question for you is, we saw the photograph of the family with the matching PJs. First of all, whose idea was that, and what kind of punishment are they in moving forward?
Oh, it's my mom's idea. If you look at the shirt on Jimmy, it looks like he got a kid small. The sleeves are all the way up. My shirt was completely different from theirs. It said something else on it. I think it said, "All I want for Christmas is you," or something. So I was in the back. But it's my mom's idea. She makes us do it. And yeah, it's usually like a Snuggie or something, like a full outfit. But this year she got the matching PJs for everyone. So we let her do it because she works at it hard.
Well, wait a minute. You make her do it because only got news for you. She's running that household. No disrespect to all
exactly
you guys.
That's exactly right.
That think you're
in charge.
You
don't have any veto.
No, she's running the show. No, I mean, know your role.
She runs
here.
It.
Yeah, that's it. Know your role.
She runs it. We do what she says.
Hey.
You're right.
Hey, buddy, let me tell you something. Packer and I are well into our 50s, and if our mom said something today, we'd do it.
Like
that's
this.
What happens.
Yeah.
Okay?
No, we. Right.
Okay, just so you know it. It's not changing Jimmy's, anytime soon.
No. Jimmy's the tough one. He didn't want to do it, but I did it right away. Trust me.
That's
I
it.
Know better.
Wait. Team player.
Wait a second. Jim or Jimmy, who's the tough one? Your dad or your brother?
They're like the same, honestly. They're very similar. They won't agree with it, but So my dad did it. We'll do something easy if Jimmy won't do it, to not try to be like him. But they're both very stubborn, and they're tough to get them to do stuff. They like to do it their way on their time, and that's why they bump heads a lot. They like to do it their way.
Yeah, let's get something. Let's make sure we understand ourselves before this interview ends. There's Julie, and then there's the rest of you guys down here. All right, that's how this works.
That's it. Yeah.
That's how it works.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, all right. Absolutely. We're good now. We're good.
Hey, all right. Now, Packer's been keeping list. So this is how many appearances for Buddy Boeheim?
This is Buddy's sixth appearance, which ties him with Kenny Pickett of Pittsburgh as the most appearances by a student athlete. And given the fact that Kenny is now moving on to the National Football League and we're just kind of getting cranked up with hoops, I'm sensing that the student athlete leaderboard, we will have a new leader in 22 is what I'm sensing.
I love that. Love the sound of that. Yeah, we got at least one or two more times. So let's do it.
Yeah, I like it.
Well, and here's the other thing. Here's the other thing too. Pickett went to Twitter and suggested that he needed a Packer and Durham hat after he saw Mark wearing one on his vacation out to the Tahoe area. So Pickett got a Packer and Durham hat. The problem is this, buddy. Your expectation for a Packer and Durham hat is going to have to be tempered because we don't have any Packer and Durham hats left. We got to find some new Packer and Durham hats. And when we find one, we'll let you know, okay? Maybe I'll show up in late January to do the weight game and I'll have a Packer and Durham hat. But right now, I'm not as optimistic as I once was.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, we need to make that happen so I can wear it on the road and stuff. I'm pretty much on the show now. I'm a co-host.
That's it. Exactly right. No, the only thing we've got to give away is the only Packer and Durham coaster, and I think you've got higher expectations than that. So that'll give us something to work on.
Your expectations feel a little
give us something to work on.
Yeah, definitely. I need something that I can wear.
You got it. Well, stay healthy, my man. Always appreciate it.
Hey, good luck tomorrow night, man.
Appreciate it, guys. Always fun being on here.
All right. Buddy Boeheim of Syracuse. Stay tuned when we come back. Bojangles weekend menu is ahead. Deeks put it on a tee at 11 o'clock. Look at the clock. My gosh, 70 minutes. Wake Forest is playing football. We'll get that. Final thoughts of 21 coming up next on ACCN.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Our final thank you for the sports information folks of the ACC goes to Louisville. Kenny Klein, Rocco Gasparo, and everybody else in the office there in Derby City. Once again, a hat tip to helping Packer and Durham and the ACC network in a strong 2021. Thanks as always. And look forward to working with you guys again as the calendar turns tonight. A final ACC football game coming up here in about an hour or so. The Deacons and the Scarlet Knights over on ESPN from the Gator Bowl down in Jacksonville. Pack.
Yeah, I'd like to see the folks at Jacksonville paint those end zones like they used to. That big old gator used to go all the way across the end zone. That was
cool. That thing was awesome.
I loved it. That's one of the best end zones. I mean, they talk about the Rose Bowl and it's beautiful and all that great stuff, but the old Gator Bowl, how they used to paint those end zones, that gator all the way across the width of the field, that was awesome. I mean, I'm telling you, maybe as good as it gets.
Hey, and then Keith Jackson and Frank Brawls would do the game. Keith, look at there for the Michigan team with Butch Wangler, quarterback. John Wangler going to hand the ball, and Ricky Bawden out of the secondary comes in there to make the tackle for the Tar Heels.
That's it. You got it.
Unbelievable.
You got it.
Good luck to Wake Forest today.
No doubt.
Basketball all weekend long. We'll be here on Monday to recap it for you, both men's and women's games on the schedule. Plus, the postscript of football next week on this show, by the way. The postscript meaning, don't forget now, after bowl games end, there's still maybe another move or two from a coaching perspective. Mike Elko's putting his staff together, by the way, at Duke. We'll update you on some of that. And I don't know if you've seen Tony Elliott and Brent Pry have also made some very interesting hires to their staff. We'll outline those coming up next week as well.
Yeah. By the way, some sad news. Fred Cone passed away last night at the age of 95. Mm. Really one of the founding fathers of Clemson football, was Frank Howard's recruiting coordinator and a Ring of Honor guy. Just tremendous dude. Again, thoughts and prayers to the Cone family and the Clemson football family. He was one of the all-timers.
Thanks to John Curry. Thanks to Boo Corrigan. Thanks to Buddy Boeheim. He's tremendous. Syracuse and Virginia tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, is part of a doubleheader that also features Florida State and NC State right here on ACC Network starting tomorrow afternoon. Men's basketball, 4 o'clock is the tip time on that doubleheader. Pac, happy New Year tonight, my man.
Same to you.
Don't revel in it too much.
Oh, I plan on it.
Thank you, bud. Appreciate it. Yeah. You'll be asleep by midnight, aren't you?
It's time to flush 21. Let's bring on 22. But go Deeks.
Drew, Josh, Laura, thanks again. Thanks, everybody, on the back row and in the bunkers. Have a great New Year, everyone. Stay safe.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.